These men and Gust were kindred spirits. But there was a reason these PM specialists were known inside the agency as knuckle-draggers. So many of them had limited vision. Now that he was in charge of the Afghan program, Avrakatos felt that he needed a different kind of paramilitary specialist, and left to its own devices, he didn't think the PM branch would find him the right man. The Afghan operation was unique, not just because of its size, but because the Pakistani intelligence service, General Akhtar's ISI men, were responsible for the hands-on supervision of the Mujahideen. In time, Avrakatos would send teams of American PM officers on temporary training missions to the Pakistani camps. But for his personal military advisor, he didn't need a knuckle-dragger to perform heroics behind enemy lines. He needed a weapons expert who was, above all, a strategic thinker. As Avrakatos had sat in his office paging through the resumes of the 10 PM officers he was considering for the job, Vickers's file had stood out. 10 years, a Green Beret, the first 5 on the NATO front line studying the Soviets and preparing for guerrilla warfare behind enemy lines. A series of internal citations, Special Forces Soldier of the Year, fluent in Czech and Spanish, Officers Candidate School, second in class, training in demolition, light and heavy weapons, raids and ambushes, high-altitude free-fall parachuting, advanced mountain climbing, 3 years running counterterrorism missions out of Southern Command, Panama. Then a career change. At 30, he entered the CIA's elite career training program. What caught Avrakatos's eye were 2 entries indicating missions to Grenada and Beirut in the midst of what should have been a routine desk job. For one of them, Vickers had gotten a citation for bravery under fire. That was enough to make one want to pursue this man's background more thoroughly. Gust had begun by wandering through the PM branch to eyeball Vickers. He wasn't impressed. He was the only nerdy-looking guy in the whole group. Most of those guys are Neanderthals, and he looked like a bookworm. Avrakatos decided that he needed to know what this man was all about. What tipped the balance was a piece of intelligence from one of the secretaries in his network. As far as the women were concerned, Vickers was no nerd, and he was dating the prettiest girl in the case officer program. To Gust's great annoyance, Rudy Enders, the special operations chief, declared that Vickers was too junior and couldn't interview for the position. This wasn't Avrakatos' first run-in with the PM branch, and he wasn't about to roll over. Earlier that year, he had locked horns with the previous PM chief over another officer he had wanted to borrow. A vicious turf battle had broken out over the phone. "You better apologize," Avrakatos had shouted, "because if you don't, I'm going to come down and shove the telephone up your ass." By the time he had stormed down to the PM branch, the knuckle-dragger's lair, the chief had vanished. Later, Avrakatos discovered that the officer had left only because he had a history of brawling, and it would have jeopardized his career had he stayed to slug it out. That man was William Buckley, who shortly afterward was sent to Beirut as chief of station. By the time Gust was scheming to enlist Vickers, Buckley had already been taken captive by Iranian-backed terrorists, who proceeded to torture him. They had sent a videotape of their captive's agony, leering into the camera as they broke every bone in his body. As best the agency specialists could judge, his ordeal had lasted many days. Avrakatos never had any doubts about what he would have done to the Iranians had he been in charge. He would have ordered the bombing of their most holy shrine at Qom, or taken his anger out on Khomeini's family. As he saw it, the tape was a classic sucker punch designed to make the agency strike out impotently. He told Casey that unless they were prepared to do something truly awful, it was better to do nothing at all. But he argued that the tape should be released to at least inform the world who these people were. Buckley may have been his foe internally, but once the enemy had him, the case officer became very much a part of Gust's family. He would later give him the ultimate accolade. Whoever kidnapped him got the wrong guy. He would have given them no satisfaction. He was a stubborn goat. Buckley's replacement in the paramilitary division was no less prickly a personality. Rudy Enders wasn't about to let Avrakatos fill one of the agency's plum PM jobs with the most junior case officer in his branch. But Gust was painfully aware of his own inadequacy in the area of weapons and strategy. With Charlie's money pouring in and so many critical decisions to be made, he was ready to do whatever was necessary to get Vickers. The last officer PM had sent him, Dwight Weber, a full Marine colonel, had driven him crazy. He was a by-the-book, straight missionary position kind of guy with absolutely no initiative, says of Rakatos. The colonel didn't think beyond the next fiscal year. If the funding level were to double, he would have been inclined to just double the existing order, keeping the same ratio of weapons to ammunition that Howard Hart had long ago established. There was no thought of changing the kind of weapons, just more of the same year after year. To make matters worse, Colonel Weber had crossed a line by asking Larry Penn, Gust's consigliere, whether the entire program made sense. He seemed concerned about the mounting casualties, given the tremendous odds against a successful resolution of the war. A livid of Rakatos dressed him down. What kind of military man are you? Everyone else in the program was there to kick ass, and Avrakatos considered this kind of self-doubt unforgivable. The grandfatherly Art Alper wasn't rent with doubts when he designed his lethal sabotage tactics. He felt virtuous about it. Here's a guy who could go to the synagogue, pray, and have a good night's sleep. That's the kind of killer I wanted on my team. We had Wright and God on our side. Weber had actually driven Avrakatos to the breaking point once before, when he and another PM officer had accompanied him to Switzerland to explore the purchase of the controversial Oerlikons. They were told they were there to examine the guns, but the real reason Gust had brought them was to protect his backside. I didn't want anyone to suspect that I had made a private deal with Charlie or to suggest that he was somehow getting a commission. Avrakatos took special precautions because he knew quite a bit about the company he was dealing with. We were negotiating with two savvy Swiss, Herbert and Johann. Oerlikon is the company that sold weapons to both sides in World War II. They had collaborated with the Nazis. They were selling guns to Iraq and Iran and to Israel and the Saudis the same time we were talking to them. These are international scumballs, and I guess I couldn't conceal my feelings because one of them said to me in the midst of dinner, "Gust, I sense you don't like me."